Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 15, verse 9. Matthew's Gospel 15, verse 9. We are in that series called Explaining Scriptures, the Antichrist. Explaining Scriptures. Are you Matthew's Gospel 15? Matthew's Gospel 15, verse 9. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. In vain they do worship. So how do we know vain worship? We know vain worship by what is taught, by the doctrine that is communicated. And we know vain worship to be the doctrine that is communicated, that is the commandment of men. Are we together? We know vain worship by what is communicated as doctrine, which eventually you see as the commandment of men. So we've spoken about several facts about the Antichrist and how in the real sense, because it is a slant of worship or it is an act of worship, our worship to God is found in doctrine. It means we'll pay attention to what we teach. We pay attention to what we teach. So if we are to teach, if we are to have, so there are two types of worship fundamentally. There is the vain worship and there is the true worship. Are we together? The true worship will be teaching, or we will be deal with the teaching of the doctrine of the commandment of Christ, which you see, for instance, in Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and said unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He says, go ye therefore in that power, in that authority, and teach all nations, right? That's Mark 16, together on Matthew 28. So it means that in the real sense, teaching, doctrine, is a very fundamental aspect of our worship as believers. Are we together? We need to teach and pay attention to teaching, else we will be worshiping, but it will be in vain. So we correct vain worship by paying attention to the solid doctrine of Christ. Are we together? So we're trying to explain the concept of the Antichrist. And we said a lot of times over the years, people tend to be more aware about the doctrine of the Antichrist than the doctrine of Christ. So we have always been scared about that person who's going to have so many horns and grow up with so many horns, and in the real sense, he's going to, you know, torment people for whatever doctrine really it is. But really, it is the commandment of men that has been taught in the art of worship, which we'll call vain what? Worship. Are you here? Lovely. Right. So we started looking at the book of Acts. We looked at Acts 15, talking about a sect of people. You know, Acts 15, verse 1 to 5. We also looked at Acts 24, verse 5 and 14, talking about Paul having a sect and the other guys having a sect, which you call the heretic preacher. We also saw that Paul, you know, identifies that heresy is the work of the flesh in Galatians 5, verse 20. Right, we now saw in Acts 13, verse 6, talking about the bar Jesus. And we said, even though your name bears the name Jesus, salvation is come, your doctrine might actually be something that is against the message of salvation is come. So we saw a typical example, bar Jesus. We saw bar Jesus in scripture as a prophet, right? And we explained that we understand a prophet first by what he said regarding doctrine. Yet a prophet is not known by what he does or the supernatural things he operates in, but he is known by what he says. Even Moses gives a criteria of knowing a prophet, Deuteronomy 13, so to say, right? And he speaks about how you know a true prophet despite what they've operated in as the supernatural. So it means that we need to pay attention to God's word to understand who the Christ is, so we will know those who are against the Christ, which you call the Antichrist. And we said we treat men to the degree in which, or we consider men as the Antichrist to the degree in which they are found amongst the concept or the people that are against the message of Christ. We also went to Romans 15. Run with me to Romans 15. Let's continue from there this evening. Look at Romans 15. Romans 15. If you look at Romans 1 first, it first tells you in verse 16 that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. Both Jew and Greek is what you should see in verse 16. So the gospel is the power of God to save. So when you want to look for God's power, you look at the gospel. When you mention the gospel, you are thinking of God's power to save. So he first starts Romans and tells you about, you know, the gospel in the first 16 verses, you know, and into a lot of other chapters there. Then he goes to chapter 14 and warns people that preach anti the gospel. Right, he goes to chapter 14, but chapter 15 first, and warns people. Look at 15:30. Look at 15 verse 30. Romans chapter 15 verse 30. Romans chapter 15 verse 30. Romans 15:30. Romans 15:30. He says, now I beseech you, brethren. Are you there? Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. So there are them that do not believe, and there are also them that should strive with Paul in the place of prayer. Are we together? He says, for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in the place of prayer to God, that I may be what? Delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Look at chapter 16. 16, 17. Chapter 16, verse 17. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine. Can you see? He goes attention, pays your attention, points your attention again to doctrine. Look at verse 17. Mark them which cause division and offense that is contrary to the doctrine. Now, how many doctrines do we have? Okay, how many worships do we have? One is what? Vain worship and true worship. How many doctrines do we have? The doctrine of the commandment of men, Matthew 15, is that true? And the doctrine of who? Christ. So there's a doctrine of the commandment of men and there's a doctrine of Christ. So when it says offenses contrary to the doctrine, what doctrine is that? Commandment of Christ. That's doctrine of Christ. So he says, mark them. Can we say mark them into bracket, those that teach the doctrine of the commandment of men, into bracket close, which cause division, are we here, and offenses that are contrary to the doctrine of Christ, into bracket close, which you have learned, and you do what? You avoid them. So it is one thing to mark them, you avoid. Now, we said on Sunday that the avoidance is found in the fact that you don't submit yourself to their influence. Are we together? It is not saying don't say hello to anybody. No. It is you don't submit yourself to the influence of their doctrine or the influence of their words. For they that are such, they serve not Jesus Christ, but their own what? Belly. So, can we say doctrine of Jesus Christ and the doctrine of the commandment of men? For the doctrine of men, you will find out that the eventual service is their own belly. Are you here? Are you sure you're here? You will find out that the eventual service is for their belly. Their eventual service is to their belly. What is the eventual service of those that teach commandment of men? To their belly. What is the those who teach commandment, doctrine or commandment of men, what is their service rendered to? What is the foundation of their service? Their belly. I hope you know it is not about their stomach. Right? That means, can we say their covetousness? Beautiful. Can we say their hearts? Can we say the slant of their hearts? Now, those who teach the doctrine of Christ, what is the foundation? Who is their service to? Christ. So never forget, there are two. He says, their own belly is who they render service to, and by good words and fair speeches they deceive the heart of the simple. So we said that the word there, good words, deals with lovely messages, smooth messages, and that doesn't mean that you cannot teach the God doctrine of Christ with smooth words. That doesn't mean that you can. That doesn't mean that anybody that is teaching smooth with smooth words, right, is someone that is not teaching the doctrine of Christ. No. What he's saying right now is that he is using the ability for them to speak smoothly as a tool they use to deceive people. You get that? They use their ability for the fluency in speech to deceive people. He's not saying that anybody who uses fluency of speech or is fluent in English or in your language is deceiving. No. Are we together? First of all, their goal is to render service to their belly. So what do they use? They use good speeches. Are we together? They use fair speeches. They use good words to deceive the heart of the simple. Are we together? Are we here? Are we here? So you are a bomb that is waiting to explode. Right? You are a bomb that is bigger than where you are. Or the you in you is bigger than the you that we see. Right? So all those fair speeches are words that I use. So look at it now. When I tell you the you in you is bigger than the you that we see. If it's 100 naira you wanted to give before, will you not increase it? Are we together? Because the you that we see might be 100 naira, but you in your heart, you know that there's a bigger you. Getting bigger. Right? So we know that there's a use of words to shift your heart or to contaminate the simplicity of God's word. Are we together? Are we together? So, can you teach the simplicity of God's word with phonetics? Can you use big grammar to communicate God's word? Is God's word found in the use of the grammar? No, God's word is simple in itself as God's word. Are we together? But he says that these ones, their end goal is their stomach, so they try to use words to work on your mind. God is raising billionaires amongst all of us. Right? In this local church, God said he will raise 100 billionaires. How? In Nigeria, how many billionaires do we have? In the world, how many billionaires do we have? So only in your church we have 100. How? Those are what? Enticing words, right? Which Paul will get there now. We'll say high-sounding nonsense. The vision of the church is not to determine who will be a millionaire or not. What the vision of the church is, or what the church is to do, is to refine your mind and your heart with what you do with your millions. You hear what I just said? What the goal of the church is to refine your heart as to how you conduct yourself with your millions. The goal of the church is not to raise millionaires. The goal of the church is not to raise billionaires. The gospel of Christ is not that Christ died for your prosperity. It's a lie. It's a fallacy. Almost everything in Nigeria disputes that. For a country that teaches it as much as it does. Are we here? What does the gospel do? The gospel doesn't make you richer, but the gospel teaches you what to do with money when you get money. Are we together? The gospel teaches you that God meets the needs of people through people in the local assembly or through people on the earth. Are we together? So there's a way you will read the Bible and see principles on how to be wealthy. You are going to teach the commandment of what? Men. Are we together? It is because you have a slant of belly covetousness. That is why when you read Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. First of all, was that to you? In fact, it is covetousness that makes you read Matthew 6:33, the bellious way. You know what belly is? Bellious way. Bellious way just means the way that is of the belly. What is Matthew 6:33? You know. Seek ye first. And is what? And all these things, right? Remember, when we are looking at Bible study, we look at the word all in the context of the word all. When we are looking at the word all, we look at the word all within the context in which it is. So, Matthew 6:33 is not a promise for everything on earth. Let me ask you a question. When somebody says, seek the first kingdom of God, and is what? And all these things shall be what? You know what we do? We use seeking the kingdom of God as a means to get all these things. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The reason you are seeking is because they told you when you seek, all will come. So when we look at the true state of your heart, because you are serving your belly, eventually we will find out that what you are really serving is your belly, not the kingdom of God. Right? The promise in Matthew 6:33 is not a promise for everything you need on earth. We've done a teaching on that, right? Ask, it shall be given unto you. Seek, you shall find. Knock, the door shall be what? When Luke records that conversation, what did he talk about? The Holy Ghost. So the asking, the seeking, you know, ask, seek, knock. The first letter of the word ask is what? The first letter of the word seek is what? The first letter of the word knock is what? What do you have? Ask. You see, asking is too fun. No. Right? It's about the Holy Ghost. Right? And that took us to explain things like, you know, and ye ask amiss. Remember that teaching, right? You receive not because ye ask amiss. I would think the asking amiss in James 4 is about, you know how it's so good to teach. It's so interesting. Right? Because all you need to do for James 4:3, ye receive not. The reason why you're not receiving is because you're asking amiss. How do you know why you're asking amiss? Go back to Romans. He said there's the goodwill, there's the acceptable will, and the what? And the perfect way. So God has three options for you. Say three. That now leads us to the question of when you ask God for something, God will either say yes, or he will say no, or he will say what? Hold on or wait. Are we together? Are we together? Then you now come up with the myth, what you call the myth of unanswered prayers. But there is a slant in which you approach scriptures and you understand that, oh, Christ is the fulcrum of scriptures. Without understanding that, Antichrist will actually get the best of you and you will not even know. Are we together? So you see in Romans 15 and 16, Paul says, mark those ones. He says, avoid them. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. That's the next book after Romans, quickly. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12 to 15. It says, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? He says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching in vain? Are we together? So our preaching is in vain if Christ did not rise. So it will mean that part of vain worship will include the doctrine or the teaching that says Christ did not rise. Are you here? Lovely. So he says our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain as well. He says, ye, and we have found false witness because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ whom he raised not up, and if so be that the dead rise not, he says, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. What is Paul defending? Paul is saying, I can attach the assurance of your resurrection on the resurrection money to the fact that Christ resurrected. To say that you will never resurrect is to say that Christ never resurrected. Are we together? To say that Christ resurrects is to say that you will resurrect. To say that Christ resurrected is to say that you will resurrect. To say that you will not resurrect is to say Christ never resurrected. Are we together? So, in the resurrection of Christ, you see your resurrection. Are we together? The resurrection of Christ is not a resurrection whereby you just see it happening from afar and that is what is happening. No. By happening from afar, it is affecting you that is afar. So, in the real sense, you are present in that resurrection. Are we together? So, when you see Christ rose again, it means that the believer will rise again. Right? When you say the believer will not rise again, you know, all this is just flesh. What happens? When you go into the tomb, what happens? Termites will eat your body. And the termites will eat the wood. Abi? Then get your body. Then after a few years, if they dig you out, what will they see? Skeleton. And what after a few more years, what will they see? Sand. Are we together? Why is that difficult for you to believe? Yet you believe that God created the first man from nothing. Did you get what I just said? You believe that God created the first man from nothing. Why is it difficult for you to believe that God will resurrect a man that looks like nothing? To say that God cannot resurrect a man that looks like nothing is to say you don't agree that God created the first man. Are we here? Are we together? So Paul attaches the resurrection of the saints. So when saints die, we don't lose saints. Are we together? When saints die, we don't lose saints. So whilst we are emotionally attached and we cry, right, we don't lose saints. In the real sense, we call it a translation of body. A translation from the physical to the unseen. And in that reality, there is the ever-living nature that is found there. Hallelujah. So for you to say a believer will not rise again, it is to say that Christ will not rise again. Now, for you to say that the effect of the resurrection of Christ can be tampered with by something else is to agree that the resurrection of Christ is not perfect. You hear what I just said? I'll say it one more time. To agree that the resurrection of Christ can be tampered with. Let me say it this way. To agree that the effect of the resurrection of Christ can be tampered with. What does that mean? We say that when Christ rose and when you believe, you are forever saved. What's the effect of the resurrection? Eternal salvation. Forgiveness of sins. Indwelling of the Holy Ghost. So when Christ dies, the effect and the resurrects. The effect of the resurrection is in the fact that we see that a man is saved forever. Hebrews 7:25. Now unto him who is able to save to the what? The uttermost. Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep us from what? From falling. John 10:28. Yeah, the Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and none can pluck them from my Father's hands. From my hands. Are we together? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Those are the effect. The effect of the resurrection or believing the resurrection is everlasting life. To say that something can tamper with the effect of believing the resurrection is to say that the resurrection is not perfect. to say that something can tamper with the effect of the resurrection, it means that God did not do the resurrection well enough. Hallelujah. But we know that in that resurrection, he has done once and forever. He has perfected those who have come into that reality, such that the man that is saved is forever saved. Are we together? The man that is saved is forever and us as. Hallelujah. The man that is saved is once saved, always saved. Praise God. Praise God. Say, I'm saved forever. Say, my sins are forgiven forever. Say, I have the seal of the Holy Ghost. Say, I can never perish. Say, I can never perish. You're sounding like you know that you can perish. See, it is useless for God to have come to the earth to give man temporary salvation. It is ridiculous to say the least. Right? It is absurd. It is funny. It's a laughable joke. God, is it that I was jobless? I've lived so much out of time. Let me come and wait. You know that God lives outside of time. I hope you know. I hope you know God created time. Are we together? God is now saying that there is such a thing that will happen to you in time that will affect you outside time. So God outside of time comes into time to die and to resurrect, so that any man or woman in time that believes that resurrection will affect what happens outside time. So the consequence of that work done in time is eternal. See what I'm saying? God will not come into time to limit what he will give you within the fines or confines of time. Did you hear that? God will not come into time to limit. See what I'm trying to say? Let's assume this room is time. I will say God lives outside of time. So God will not come into this room to give you something that will only affect you in this room. He will come into this room to give you something that is his life by his spirit that will affect you, and it will project you outside of this room. So you are forever and perpetually going to remain saved because of his work. To say that a believer is not saved is to say that God did not do the work well. It almost means that God ran into time and he got scared and he ran away. Hallelujah. So when we talk about the eternal nature of our Christian faith, we are not joking. It's not a joke. We are sure. Paul says in Romans 8, he says, "For I am persuaded nothing. Nothing can separate me. Nothing can separate me. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. There's nothing. There is nothing. There is nothing." See, for something to separate you from the eternal love of God, that thing has to come from the eternal space. Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? For something to affect what the eternal God did in space, that thing in time has to actually have an influence. So, let me say it this way. The only person that can undo your salvation is God himself. Are we together? But we have an assurance that he's a faithful God. He's a loving father. He's a consistently loving father. God remains faithful despite your unfaithfulness. God remains faithful despite your flaws. God remains faithful despite what you go through. God remains faithful despite what time brings your way. Are we together? So, for an injection that was made in time, praise God, to have an effect on what God has done outside of time is a joke. Was COVID injection made in time? 20 years ago, was there COVID injection? 5 years ago, was there COVID injection? I don't know, maybe in the lab. Are we together? So it was made in time. You now say that will affect what God has done. That has had an eternal effect outside of time. Praise God. Say God is good. Say he's a good father. He's a forever good father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians 11. Corinthians 11 verse 2. He says, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy." Right? "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be what? Corrupted from the what? Simplicity that is in Christ. Let's read verse 4 together, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear him. Bear with him, rather. Are we together? So, there is such a thing as another Jesus. Look at how Paul says that in Galatians. Look at Galatians. Galatians 1, 6. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Galatians 1, verse 6. Galatians 1, verse 6. It says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that what? Trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be what? Be accursed. Now, the word there accursed there doesn't mean you should curse the person. Right? The word there accursed is a Greek word that speaks about separating, staying away, to be separated. Let him be separated. That means don't go close to, don't touch, don't move close to, don't get near, don't get beside, don't look beside, don't associate with, don't submit yourself to their influence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So he says that what? Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel, right? Are you there? From heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, that which we've preached unto you, let him be what? Let's read verse 9 together, Galatians 1, 9 together. 1, 2, 3, go. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preaches any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be what? Accursed. Right? So let him be what? Separated. So it means that the warning of other factors when it comes to the doctrine of Christ is regarded or is associated with men. Praise God. Look at Ephesians 4. So how do you know the Antichrist? You know the Antichrist by what a man or a woman says about the Christ. Hallelujah. Remember, the Antichrist is not a person but a concept. The Antichrist is a concept, not a person. So we are not waiting for any man. Hallelujah. So look at Ephesians 4, verse, if you read from verse 9, or verse 10, or verse 11, it tells you that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some apostles, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. Now look at verse 12. Are you in Ephesians 4, 12? GP, are you here? Lovely. Look at verse 12. Or let's read verse 11. 1, 2, 3, go. And he gave some apostles, prophets, and... Now, mind you, remember, we've said that the word there, some, is not a word that means a part of a whole. Remember that teaching? The word there, some, is not a word. So, Paul is not saying he gave some apostles. He gave some pastors. You, it looks like you have a long leg. You'll be used for worker, so you'll go for evangelists. He now gave some evangelists. No. The word there, some, is only one. There's only one Greek word, some, in the original manuscript. And it means certainly or indeed, truly, assuredly. So what is Paul saying? For in the resurrection, he gave assuredly apostles. So apostle, will it be a person or an office? An office. Are we together? So ministry gifts will first be seen from the person Jesus Christ and other believers operate in the office within the body. Are we together? So ministry gifts will be, you have apostles, you have pastors, you have prophets, you have pastoring, which are to teach, really, so to say. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastoring, teachers, or pastors and teachers. In the real sense, what did Moses tell you? Let me ask you a question. So how many ministry gifts are there in Ephesians 4? How many ministry gifts are there? How many ministry gifts are there? 4.5. How many ministry gifts are there? Between 4 and 5. How many offices are there? Let me ask you a question. How do you know a true apostle? By what he says. How do you know a true evangelist? By what he says. How do you know a true prophet? How do you know a true pastor? So is teacher teaching there a ministry gift? Wait. Let's assume you want to separate pastor and teacher. What would be the futures? Okay, say, but bro, and here he said, Pastor is the one that will ask, how are you doing today? How are you faring? Then teach. So teachers don't ask, how are you doing? We'll teach on that very soon. The ministry gifts, you've seen. Now, we view the ministry gift from the person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the true apostle by which other people operate in that office. Jesus is the true prophet, the true evangelist, the true pastor, the true shepherd, by which other... So, teaching is unique to all of them. You get that? So, how many ministry gifts are there? Four! You get that? Not four minus five, not four into bracket, not four and a half. It is four. Apostle as an office, evangelist as an office, prophet as an office, and pastor as an office. So it means that believers will operate in those offices as against special people from their mother's womb designed to operate in those offices. You get that? What is the goal of the four ministry gifts? What does it say in verse 12? 1, 2, 3, go. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's read verse 13 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Till we all come in the... And... Please, can you check your Bibles? Let's read verse 13 together. Verse 13, Ephesians 4, 13. There's a reason. Till we all come into the what? The unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, the word there and is the Greek word kai. Are we together? Kai is the Greek word for the word and in that context. Now, it's a word that is used to explain what was said before, not always, or can be used for talking about two different things. So I can say Joshua and Yusuf, and I mean Joshua that is Yusuf. I can say Joshua and Sam, and I'm not talking about Joshua which is Sam. Are we together? So I'm saying Joshua and Yusuf, the same and, different from the same and as well for both of us, but different meanings. Now that context is the word that he means I mean or that is or which is. So he says till we come into the unity of what? Unity of the what? And so is Paul talking about two things or the same thing? What is the same thing? So what is unity of faith? Knowledge of this. So unity of faith is not when gospel has played God's place and we do competition, then we'll go to area 10 and look for more churches and draw table. Are we together? Unity of faith is not where we come together and do with other churches. I hope you get. You get it, right? So unity of faith is found in the knowledge. So what is God's goal? Let me tell you something. It is God's will that everybody says the same thing about the Son of God. You know, it's interesting nowadays, we have people who are specially anointed with special messages. No, God has called me to deliverance. You need deliverance. Yeah, you need deliverance. That's just the fundamental. We need to start from there. How we start is that you need to admit first. Are we together? You need to admit first that you need deliverance. Deliverance minister. Let's say, okay, how do you know a true deliverance minister? By the teaching. By the teaching. So if you are truly genuine in your teaching, you will know that deliverance ministry is not a ministry. Because everybody is calling to deliverance ministry. You know, there's some places you will go to, people will manifest more than some other places. Let me say this in passing, but I know that we have female men and male men. But have you noticed that there's a particular gender that's usually involved with rigmarole? You say yes, I don't say it. I just say there's the only two genders I know that in Christ, female man and male man. But why do you think? Because that gender is usually moved by what is said. See, I can make some of you here roll on that. What do I need to do? Come here and close your eyes, lift your hands. Yes, yes, it's coming out. You that know that anything was coming out before, you start imagining things coming out. That's why you notice sometimes when you put them in a different sphere, they act differently from another different sphere. But there are some that don't care of the sphere. And this sphere is a sphere. What? Last Sunday you came, you fell down. This Sunday you came, you fell down. What happened? What is pushing you? Yeah, you're the only demon-possessed person. Now, there are places where demon operates, but we have watched so much film that has influenced how we respond to God's power. All together. Why should you be having believers with and everything you are doing? Yes, out! You bring the person here, you say out. As like, demon will not hear you from afar. You have to shout at the person. You know a true liberal minister by what he teaches. So, the unity of faith is about the doctrine of the knowledge of his son. So, God expects that if you open another church today, what you should say is not different from what Christ has taught and passed down to the apostles, which you see in scriptures. You know it will be difficult for everybody to say the same thing the apostle said. You know now. Why will it not be easy? Because there's such a thing called the belly. The belly, there will be a figure of speech for covetousness. So the reason we have ministry gifts is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the what? The body of Christ. That we may all come into the unity of faith, and that is the knowledge of his son. Now look at verse 14. Let's read verse 14 together. Everybody, Ephesians 4:14, 1, 2, 3, go. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every... Can every wind of doctrine deal with commandment of men? Can we now say every wind of doctrine that is by the slight of men? You get that, right? Is that the same thing Jesus taught in Matthew 15? So what are we going to call winds of doctrine? Vain worship now. That's vain doctrine, right? Vain worship, right? He says, of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait towards deceive. So the reason for sound doctrine is so that the believer is not tossed to and fro by every wind of false doctrine. You know, I always say something. The mind of man, or man's mind, or man's heart is able to comprehend error and the truth and mix it together. And I said something. How do you know someone who is well taught the doctrine of Christ? He can separate between the lie and the truth, and the lie and the almost true. All together. So when you start seeing somebody trying to, hey, I want to hear finished works on Sunday morning. Then on Monday evening, I want to go and hear one strange doctrine from a strange portal. Right? What do you do? Those that are being tossed around by winds of doctrine. So why do we have ministry gifts? For the perfecting of the saints. Now, what is perfecting of the saints? Is that perfecting of the saints' spirit or perfecting of the saints' knowledge? Knowledge. So for the perfecting of the saint, it's not that a saint is not perfect. A saint is perfect by the perfect work of Christ. So the perfecting of the saint is based on the knowledge imparted by the ministry gifts, apostle, prophets, evangelists, pastors, who will what? Teach. So in their teaching, what is happening? So what am I doing to you? Perfecting you. How? By teaching. What is the goal? So that you will be trained for the work of what? For the edifying of the body of that we know that as for we're not the first verse says till we come into the unity of faith that is of the knowledge of his son, so that you will not be pushed around by winds of what? False doctrine. See, let me tell you something. To show you were never solidified as a believer in sound doctrine, or let me say it this way, for someone to come and tell you by chart or by graph or by screen or by projector that there's such a thing that vaccine will do to you and you shiver, it means you were never solid in sound doctrine. If I come tomorrow and I say something to you about how your salvation can be tampered with by receiving injection, and you live there with fear to a large extent, right? No, so there's a difference between when the thing hook, you know, there's a way someone will talk so appealing and you will believe that this person is from the throne of grace. But a way to prove that you were not solid is by listening to such a thing and you continuously perpetually live in fear. It means your conviction about eternal life had never been really, really convicting. Did you get that? Let me tell you something. If I come tomorrow and tell you something that can tamper with your Christian faith, and you believe all of a sudden and start running with it, it means that everything I'm doing right now is in vain. Because the goal of the ministry gift is to train you well so that you're not tossed around by different doctrine. Why? What did Paul call it? He said wind of doctrine. Now, I hope you know, wind of doctrine does not go with the wind. You know, now, it's figure of speech. Wind of doctrine just means diversity that is found in the atmosphere. How together? I'll show you a simple example quickly. So, there's the goal of ministry gifts. Now, look at Philippians 3. Philippians 3 verse 10, that I may know him. We did a teaching on that, right? That I may know him is not a prayer point. right? But it's a continuation of the conversation from verse 1. Yeah, which you need to read into. So Paul is not saying that you should pray that I may know him. No. He's just trying to talk about how he left certain things to adapt certain things. Now look at verse 13. Look at verse 13 carefully. See what he says there. He says, brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before. That's into bracket, that I may know him. Are you here? I press towards the mark of the prize of the higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Let's read verse 16 to 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Verse 17, 1, 2, 3, go. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them. Is that the same thing as Romans 16? Mark them which walk so as ye have us for and what? Example. For many walk, let's read verse 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even in weeping. So Paul is crying about these people, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Is that Antichrist? Is that Antichrist? They are enemies of the cross of Christ. Is that Antichrist? Antichrist now. Antichrist is equal to Antichrist. It's the same thing. Look at verse 19. Whose end is what? Whose God is there? Is that similar to Romans 16, verse 18? Their God is their belly. He now says, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things, before our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So there are people we mark, and we know them as their covetous. Let me tell you something. One of the easiest ways to know people who serve their belly is found in their you know, those people that have the anointing for collecting money, people for money. Those people have that anointing. Let me say it better. So people have that grace, that all you need to do, and in fact, when you see them attend special meetings, the pastor of the church knows when to call them. You know, there's people like that now. You know, there's people that do it genuinely because they see how sweet money comes, and there are those that do it innocently because they followed blindly. Either way, ignorance is not an excuse to submit yourself to this influence. Why? Because the mind is impressionable. You know, a lot of times you don't know the importance of influence. You don't know. Influence is so important that you can put. Have you not noticed? Have you heard of this story that there's a lion and there's an elephant they tied to a tree? Have you heard of this parable? I don't know if it's a parable or a tree. There's an elephant they tied to a tree, right? And they tied a rope to his leg. Are we here? And they tied it to the tree and they left him for a number of years. And they said they found out that when they cut the rope, they found out the elephant could not move around the circumference of when the rope was. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Why? Because the rope has left his leg to his mind. He has been influenced by what he has seen consistently over time, and he acts in that line. So it means that there are certain things you will do, and you need to pay attention to who is influencing you. One of the greatest influences over the hearts of men today is the media. That is why it's not difficult to trend today. You know, if you want to trend today, you can do it. You just need small money. You just need small money. What is money for? Sponsored ad. Just put live camera that is clear on you. That's clear for you, and let your media team just do boom. And you start talking. What do you do? Sponsor the ad in Nigeria. You know, you can reach 2 million people between now and tomorrow morning on social media. 2 million people. And the funny thing is, out of those 2 million people, a lot of them don't even have a conviction at all. That's why you realize anything, some people, you will hear some people say something, wow, you are correct. And you will hear the same person listen to something else, somebody else that is different from that person. You are correct. Some of us are like that too. Let's not laugh at our neighbors or ourselves. Because it's funny how I see people. You conveniently say you are following this teaching or this person's teaching, and you are still following this person's teaching. Like, how do you do it? It baffles me. Your mind is strong. But I don't blame people. Why? Because that's the way the mind is. The mind is like a sponge. Let me speak so philosophically right now. The mind and the heart is like a sponge, such that when it's dipped into any form of liquid, it takes from the form of liquid and owns it. Are we together? What am I saying? If you take foam from your bed and put inside water, what will the foam be filled of? You submitted the foam to the influence of water. If you take that same foam after you squeeze the water and put inside fanta, what will it be full of? Fanta is the same thing now. If you put inside money fresh, well, it's the same thing. That's where the heart is. That's where the heart is. That's where the heart is. So what is the solution to keep man in his conviction? Is to continuously teach the message of Christ. You know, there are some of you, I can still shout like that. I'm sweating. I'm sweating. And you enter a car to go home, and what they are hearing on the radio will be what different from what I'm saying. And you say, Amen. Praise God. So Paul tells you in chapter 3, and tells you about how there are people who their belly is their God. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Are you 2 Timothy 2, verse 15? Are you there? 2 Timothy 2:15. Are you there, please? Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's read verse 60 together. 1, 2, 3, go. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more. Is vain babbling same WhatsApp group with vain worship? And their words, verse 17, 1, 2, 3, go. And their words will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. The word there, canker, is the word that is the root word or the original word from that meaning of that word you call cancer today. So the words of the doctrine of men, which is the wind of false doctrine or the slight of men, is actually something that affects a man like... You know how cancer affects people? Cancer affects people from the inside. It doesn't look like it until it spreads and they say you have to cut off your leg. But the same leg that cancer was already functioning in, you used it to walk. Paul relates that teaching of false doctrine with cancer. And guess what he did, my dear brothers and sisters? He now called example of cancerous preachers. What did he call their name? Philetus. And what? So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, when you read my Romans, when you see my Romans, I just say mark and avoid them. That's good. When you read my Philippians, I just say mark them and avoid them. That's good. But wait, my Timothy, the person to mark is not them. The them are not plenty for now. Focus on Philetus and Hymenaeus. So he called names of false preachers. Are we together? That is not really saying everybody has authority to call everybody's name. You know, there's so much to do in ministry that to be looking for people's name. Some people can build a ministry around this verse. If Paul can call two names, I know this is not the only time Paul called names. There's still Alexandra. You know, if Paul called name, your whole ministry, every small thing name. Today we're going to be looking at Apostle Maxwell. Do you know Apostle Maxwell? How many of you know Apostle Maxwell? The founder of God's New Creation International Global Church. You know, I was just watching and I heard him say, and you will teach there for 3 hours. People have built doctrine around that. But the truth is, because false doctrine is like cancer. That's why you see sometimes, you see some people, they pay attention to it. That's why sometimes they always react to conversations that is trending. Do you understand? They always want to react. Because the truth is, they know the impact. There's some of you here, if I put some of you together, when Jaden, for instance, right? When Ayo, for instance, get to the age where they can hear God's word, and I expose them to the same word I'm teaching you in the same 5 years, they will do better than some of you. Why? Because they don't have so much to unlearn like you. You still have to unlearn that there's no power in your father's house that is doing you. You still, but they pick it, absorb it, and they run with it. That is why you hear phrases like you catch them young. Because those are the men on whose shoulder the doctrine of the gospel will fly in the nearest future. Right? Think about some of you. Some of you were very involved in ministry, but in error. How many of you can witness? You were so passionate about God and his work, but in error. And some of you, it is your passionate error that brought people into the ministry. The people I know today that I serve God because I serve God in school. That's the truth. The people I know today that I still recognize there is God because I serve God in my era. So when I have those people give me their ears, what do you expect from me? Sometimes you get to the point and say, that's what I told you, 2014, September 15th. Remember that day when you came and gave me a seat after I ministered to you? It was rubbish, I said. It will need to get to that point because Ma would think that you are only taking a step further in explanation of what you explained in 2014. They just feel like you are growing more, you are refining the message. But you need to let them know that you are not refined. Nothing is refined. You are destroying and wanting to what? Rebuild. So Paul will say, there are some men, Philetus and Hymenaeus. Don't hear them. When they say mark and avoid, Philetus, mark and avoid. Now, see what he says. What did he say about Hymenaeus and Philetus? He says their words eat like cancer. What exactly is the message of their words? Look at verse 18, 1, 2, 3, go. Who concerning the truth, they've erred. What is their error? They say that the resurrection is past already. What does that do? It overthrows the what? Are we together? It overthrows the faith of some. Nevertheless, what does it say again? The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, what does the Lord know that are his? The doctrine that is of Christ, not the people. Because if Philetus and Hymenaeus were believers who had received the Holy Ghost, they were saved at this point. They were saved men preaching cancerous words. Because what makes you saved is not your cancerous words, but the spirit you received. So the foundation of the Lord standeth sure is the doctrine of Christ. That's why he now says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? From what? What is iniquity there? Is it fornication? Is he lying? False doctrine. He now says, in the great house, there's not only a vessel of gold, but of silver, but also of wood and all of those things. So he's talking about how men influence doctrine around other men. Are we together? Let's close in Colossians 2. Praise Jesus. Colossians 2. Are you in verse 8? Colossians 2, 8. Are you there? What does it say? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain. Is vain deceit a family of vain worship? And also vain what again? Vain doctrine. But what did he call it in the previous verse, Philippians? Vain babblings. Correct, you're following. Right? So, beware lest any man spoil you. Is that into bracket? Philetus and Hymenaeus. Beautiful. He now says, now, tradition of men, is that commandment of men? Is that commandment of men? So is Paul and Jesus teaching the same thing? Are we here? Is Paul and Jesus teaching the same thing? Vain doctrine is equal to vain worship, is equal to commandment of men, and is equal to what? Tradition of what? Men. It now says, after the what? Rudiment of this world, and not after rudiment of this world. Is that doctrine of men? Are we together? So there's such a thing called doctrines of men and doctrine of Christ. Praise God. Is there a difference between the doctrine of men and doctrine of Christ? There is now. There is a difference. So how do you know the difference? You know the difference, or let me say it this way. How are you able to distinguish between both of them? By giving yourself to the doctrine of Christ. It is when you give yourself well enough to the doctrine of Christ, you know the doctrine that is of men. Another translation says what? Do not be carried away by what? Eh? Who has that NLT translation, or what translation is that? When it says high sounding nonsense. HSE? HSE, hey, if you have that, let's see that. Do you have that? Who has it there? Who can check online quickly? Don't let anyone, say don't let anyone, capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. What is high-sounding nonsense? It is nonsense that has a high sound. Are we together? You know all those mystic. You know some people. You know in this Christian faith, we need to be careful. I was with the pastor friend recently. I was telling me about when he was in school in UI. There, some boys. They were saying God told them that they need to meet with him quickly at Mount Horeb, and they started trekking inside the bush of UI. They were just trekking.
that God wants to meet with them at Mount Horeb. Horeb in Israel. It was 7 days after. They said they were not eating until they saw Jesus. 7 days after they met them dying in the bush. The school first expelled them. So you take your flight and go to Horeb. They first expelled them. Look how much do before they say VCUI found committee using students for. You know, people are not satisfied with the simplicity of Christ. Any message that makes you feel insufficient, all those portals, all those dimensions, all those canals, all those realms, anything that makes you insufficient. Right? You know, there's a dimension you cannot operate in until you meet with God on Horeb. It's nonsense. Bible tells in Colossians 2:9, for we are complete in Him. The only thing you need to grow in is the perfecting of sin, which is in knowledge. Are we together? All those, when you start hearing someone says, you know what they call being spooky? You know, God took me to the third heaven. And third. Either is third or third. See, there's a way, and you know the funny thing, this is what I think is in, they have soothing words. There's no how you will not cry when you hear such. Let me tell you that the reason I attended one portal is because Acts 3 shows you of an example of people who were going to pray. And they are not going to pray. They worked the miracle of the man who was lame from his mother's womb. Yes, there's a place of giving yourself to Christian devotion and Christian service. But don't make it look as if Jolie is... No. All those... I heard of another man again too. He said God asked him to dye his hair gold and his beard gold. I know the funny thing that God now still told him. God told him that this my pastor friend will come and tell him that he needs to change his hairstyle. And God told him in my head that he's in error. You see, checkmate, you don't understand. That's counter attack. You don't understand. God told me that I should dye my hair brown and gold. God also told me that Brad Temi will come and tell me or ask me questions why I'm dying my hair. God also now told him that Brad Temi is the error. Ahead. That is checkmate now. That's why you realize as a Christian that sometimes you don't have to say God said. It just saves you the ego that comes with it to correct it years after. There are so many God said that let people inside bush. Are we together? Because God said a lot of times has pushed people into error. Is God said that makes some people not to wear slippers to church today? Is it not God said that people don't wear? You see them on the road going to church because God said. They said the man, the owner, his leg was size 49 and his no shoe could enter him. You can't shoe enter you. Why is his own doing you? Do you understand? Why is his own doing you? You are 42. He is 49, he is 52. And that is how people have gone into error today. But what the Paul says, he said, don't let people capture you with empty philosophies. High sounding nonsense. So one of the first things you do is when you see eloquence, the first thing to do is to determine to the degree in which it is correct to the doctrine of Christ. That's what Ananias and Aquila did, and Priscilla rather. Aquila and Priscilla did in Acts 23, thereabout. They met a man called Apollos. Bible tells you he was eloquent in speech. But what did Aquila and Priscilla do? They took him and sat him down and corrected his high-sounding nonsense. That's why as the Christian faith, results are not proof. You know, I saw a video of someone saying, talking nonsense actually. And what he could say, I don't know what he says. He says, don't challenge me if you don't have my results. Have you heard that thing before? He says, don't challenge me if you don't have my results. We will call men who are in the bush that have ballets that have better results than you. So it doesn't mean anything they say we should believe. Because when the generation right now, people are handled or taken unawares by results. That man is coming with Corolla. No, God is not with him. He's the man that is coming with Benz. Someone is the man that is his escort car is ML350. That's God. You cannot say he's not God. And someone who is laboring, you can be in prosperity and be outside of God's will. And let me say it again. You can be in poverty and be right where God wants you. If results were to be what we look for before we follow men, nobody should follow a pastor today. Your pastor should be Bill Gates. Let Bill Gates start church and open branches. Your pastor should be Warren Buffett. Worst comes to worst, Aliko Dangote. That should be your pastor. Who has their results? Or some of you, your pastor should be man of war. You should know his name. Do I have his results? Do I have quarter of his results? So when you hear so it's just a way to play with your mind. Yeah, if you don't have my results, don't challenge me. Results are not proof that you're in alignment with God's will. You can be in results and be antichrist. Amen. You can have the results and be the antichrist they are warning us about. Because antichrist is a concept that involves people preaching a message contrary to the cross of Christ. That message that makes you always feel insufficient. That doesn't make you feel or understand the fullness of what you've received by the resurrection. Those are messages that you need to be aware of. Don't submit yourself to their influence. Why? Because it will begin to make sense to you very soon. Very soon. Very soon. Have you noticed all those portals that I mentioned? It most at times highlights the number one man alone. Have you noticed? It makes the number one man to be the only, it is the principality. It's always about what they can do and what only they can do. And when he talks, what do? You hear people, tears are dropping. You can cry in error, sister. You can cry in error. It's not today they started acting. You can cry in error. One man sang, open the floodgates. You know that song? In abundance. And cause your rain, and you think rain is from your eye. What do? You submit. The rain starts dropping. Baba oh. He sang that song. That song was globally accepted. It came out 5 years ago. He said, I'm sorry. That's an erroneous song. So what happened to you, sister, that cried? Brother, what happened to your tears? Where were you? So that means those tears were not by the Spirit of God. Why were you crying? You know it's not hard to make people cry. Sister, I can make you cry now. And I'm not joking. I can make you cry now. All I need to do is to remind you of what you have not gotten. And how they are pursuing you. And how God loves you in the midst. But they are still pursuing you. You don't know when the first one drops. You pick the first handkerchief. You do like this. That's the truth. Tears is one of the cheapest things to come out from your face. That's why you see some people, they come to do altar call. Straight from altar call. I'm not seeing people who... You see, there is that thing which you are trying to catch. But it seems far. God tells you almost there. Almost there is one of the ones that make people cry the most. Almost there. That one is almost there. You're almost there. What is waiting? What is keeping it? Release it. Go slow. What is keeping it? I hope you've learned something. Antichrist, so we have so many. So Antichrist is in the world today on the pulpit. Are we here? Antichrist is in the world today on the pulpit. On Sunday, we start looking at who Jesus warned us about. Are we together? Because Jesus warned us about people, as well as the apostles, Paul, Peter, and others. So who did Jesus warn us about? So we know that Jesus has called us into a ministry to be dogged with his doctrine and to stay there with his doctrine. So that means there's a place where the saint needs to know and know well, such that the saint will not give himself or herself to the influence or the things of this world. Hallelujah. Everybody here is going through something, right? Some of you that have jobs are looking for a better job. Some of you that have better jobs are looking for a better job. You're looking for something better. But the truth remains that there is such a thing that remains consistent when you have a good job or don't have a good job. It's the doctrine of Christ. Doctrine of men will need that you tilt the message per time to suit your present congregation. bow your heads and talk in tongues for a while as we close this evening.